Okay, so we see how Tishma, like I said, it's been a good few weeks since we learned, since like 2 or 3 weeks before Pesach. But we're holding Baruch Shem by New Perek, and that's why we really didn't start right before Pesach, holding by New Perek, Perek of Tes, which obviously is just a hemshech to everything we've done up until now. And we've been discussing up until now, really from Perek of Vav, the first 25 prakim were one really sugya, one really hemshech explaining to us the avoida of a Beinoni. Then in Perek of Vav, he started talking about the challenges that a Beinoni could have, aside from once he knows what the regular avoida is, the challenge he could have. Perek of Vav, Chavzayin Chav Ches, he spoke about the idea of having simcha, the importance of simcha, the things that can get in the way of simcha, how to circumvent them, how to overcome them, how to work through them, how to be able to work on those avoidas of atzvos that get in the way, and how terribly atzvos can affect a person's avoida, especially the avoida of a beinoni. That's what he discussed up until Perek Chav Tes. And now in Perek Chav Tes, he's going to discuss another problem that the beinoni may have, which is not atzvos, not which is coming from milu d'shmaya, not milu d'ara, not atzvos, anything there. Another problem that the beinoni may have, which is going to be a very, very strong problem, he's going to give an etzah. Now the etzah he gives is a very, very, it's an intense etzah, and he goes through it, mamish, working through it piece by piece. I can lead just learning Perek Chav Tes. The past three prakim can give a person a lot of simcha, a lot of yishvedas. They're very, like we said, the lakshtikal polish of prakim, very gishmak. There's certain, like a certain chagas over there that takes place. Perek Chav Tes is a much, much more heavy, much heavier perek. He's going to talk about mamash breaking yourself, and he's talking about how to break yourself and how to push it, shatter your ego. And again, we already have a messiah ready, aside from the Rebbe and aside from others, that this perek of Tanya is maybe to be taken under a different light, maybe in Bismanenu Tafshin Pehei, not to take it in the same way as maybe to read it in a simple way, because it can definitely, a person, befrat people, Bismanenu in our dar, a person doesn't know how to take this properly, doesn't know how to utilize this properly. This is an Eitzah which can very easily lead a person to Atzvas. Again, we'll have to talk about how to do this regardless, which means this is a problem that a person definitely will struggle with, but he's going to talk about how to deal with it on a very intense level, and maybe we'll talk about maybe what our avodah is. Bismanenu Tafshin Pehei, maybe there's a bit of a more positive, I guess, outlook to what the avodah of breaking oneself, you know, the shivrin that a person is supposed to go to, the shvira, a person is supposed to go to, the bittul that a person is supposed to go through. And obviously, that's necessary, but how to maybe do it in a way that will be more shaykh bismanenu, because like we said, if a person goes out and does this in mifrat, our dar, there's a very, very fine line between the place of shivan alev and atzvas. A person doesn't utilize shivan alev properly, kalita atzvas, and we know already from the past we proclaim how terrible atzvas is, and therefore this, you know, etzah has to be taken with, you know, very, very, a lot of caution, has to be done carefully, but we'll definitely learn through the parak, learn through it well, and understand it well, and then hopefully we'll try to figure out, okay, how do we apply what he's telling us, maybe in a way that's more, can't say more shaykh, because again, it is shaykh, the Baal Tani wrote it, it's shaykh for our dar, but I'd be able to understand it in our terms, and I'd be able to understand in a way that a person doesn't get overwhelmed by it, a person doesn't get broken in a way that's unhealthy for him, and how a person can utilize it in a way which is proper. We'll discuss it as we go through the parak. But the problem that he's going to deal with in this parak is that even though we mentioned, again, in parak Chafei, that karav alecha dav ma'oid ma'oid, right? It's karav mamish ma'oid, b'fichu b'vav chala asaisa. We mentioned that atzvas gets in the way. Now he's going to deal with another problem that can get in the way of karav alecha dav ma'oid, get in the way of a person being, the beinoni specifically, being oivir Hashem. And therefore he continues in Perek Chav Tes, on page 70, towards the bottom of the page. Perek Chav Tes, ach, oid achas, tzarech losses etzis benafshas ha-beinonim. We have to talk about another issue that can affect the beinonim. Aside from atzvas that we dealt with, we have to talk about another potential issue that the beinonim can struggle with that can be very, very detrimental to the beinonis being a beinoni. That what is that? Asher lepa'amim ve'itim rabim. Lepa'amim means sometimes, ve'itim rabim means many times, right? This can happen very, very often. Yesh lahem timtum alev shenasa ke'evin v'lo yachal leftoyach libay b'shum oifin la'avoyda shebalev zutfila. Person can get stuck in the place of timtum alev. And we're not talking about a person's atzvas. Atzvas is a feeling, right? Atzvas v'keret. Atzvas is a feeling. Timtum alev is when a person's totally cold. A person's apathetic. A person doesn't care. A person feels absolutely nothing. He's not ba'atzvas. Right? Ba'atzvas means that I have a feeling. I have a strong feeling of being depressed. At least this is worse than atzvas. This is worse than anger. This is worse than taivas. This is worse than anything else, because this is apathy. This is when a person's totally cold. And again, the Baal Tani already talks about this in other places in Lekutei Torah and Torah R, that much worse than taivas, much worse than hurim ra'im, much worse than a person having a slavas for avodah zarah, for taivas rois, is in a way apathy, when a person's cold, when a person's cut off, when a person has no feelings, in a way that's much worse. Right? We mentioned many times before.
He's davening,
but totally, totally apathetic, which means I'll go to davening, I don't feel anything in davening, tempt him alive, so I'm going to go through the avoda, right, but I can't feel that avoida shebalei, which is tefillah. Now again, for the beinani, this is much more fundamental and much more detrimental when he doesn't feel this, because the whole avoida of the beinani befrat during davening is to feel that eslavus that he has during davening. And then he's able to get, like we said, to the bechin of a tzaddik for a shah. He's able to get it while he's davening to the bechin of a tzaddik, and then that reshima will last him even after davening. But if he feels a temtum alev, feels totally apathetic. So we're not talking about he's not doing anything aser. Which means, because if he's doing anything aser, that's he's not a beinani. Somebody is a beinani, but he feels temtum alev. Now again, obviously, we're talking about a person who went ahead and followed the steps of the first 25 brachim. We're talking about a person who utilized his beinanus, which is the first half of Tanya, first half of the 25 brachim, using his beinanus, thinking about the fact that the beinanus was mamali and seiviv and meloich laretz kavoy, to think about all of that, to be misbeinan, to be able to get from the place of his beinanus to the place of the leif. Obviously, we're talking about a person who did that. Obviously, we're talking about a person who's trying to be ma'irer, the hava mesuteris that's inside of him, which is the second half of the first 25 brachim. He's doing all of that. The problem is, it's not working. The problem is, there's a gap between the brain and the heart. There's something that's stopping in between the brain and the heart, and all the information he knows and all the Yisbainus he's doing is doing absolutely nothing to his life. And Mamele, he feels totally cold and totally apathetic, and he feels no Slavis Bechal.
The guy that has Hamastaris Be'etzim doesn't have either anything with the Moichan. The Moichan caused him to do that Maisa, but Be'etzim, his Moichan is not really thinking about it.
But he's able to awaken Avam Mesoteris, which we spoke about, how to awaken Avam Mesoteris, but recognize he would be willing to be Moichan Nefesh. This guy's doing that. He's doing all of those things. He's trying to get a new Ahava, which is to his bonus. He's trying to wake up the Ahava Mesoteris, which is already there. Neither of them are working. So he's doing the aces of the first 25 Prakam Tanya, and he's feeling absolutely nothing. Now that is very, very, very detrimental. When a person feels apathetic, and a person doesn't feel any eslavas, a person doesn't feel any excitement, a person doesn't feel any,
it's a one-time thing,
But even if it's a one-time thing, the problem is that the one-time thing that a person feels totally no interest normally doesn't stay like that. When a person feels apathetic, it doesn't stay in that place. It turns from apathy, and it eventually leads a person down a very scary road. So right now, you may be a beinani, and the beinani may be fine, because right now he's doing everything he should be doing. But if you feel absolutely nothing, when you daven, when you learn, when you do mitzvahs, when you put on tefillin, when you say shema, you feel absolutely nothing, you feel cold, totally cold, so that's a very, very big problem. Befrat for the beinani, we have to go ahead and figure out how to fix this problem. Because if you don't figure out how to fix the problem of being apathetic, then there's a real issue. So again, in the previous parakim, we spoke about a person having a hurim ra during davening. The eight says, ignore it. Right, don't be metapolith the bechlal. If you're metapolith, you can end up getting dirty. You can end up fooling it. Over here, you have to be metapolith this problem. Because here's a problem that a person's apathetic. You can't ignore this, which means it's not a misguided type of eslavas. It's not a hava nefula. The person has a hava for the wrong things. That, okay, I have to work out. I'm either ignoring it, or there's a higher level of going ahead and being mamale. I have to go ahead and be able to utilize that. But here, a person feels totally cold. When a person feels cold and apathetic, then there's a real problem. Then there's a problem that a person has absolutely no cheshek to do anything.
Why is that such a problem once there's a hava mesuteris that kicks in?
No, there's no hava mesuteris.
Hava mesuteris is not something that you have. Hava mesuteris is something that's there.
Right, but if I don't
feel anything.
Right, he doesn't feel hava mesuteris.
Right, I'm saying he doesn't have to feel hava mesuteris.
No, the whole point of hava mesuteris is that it's there as Yerusha, but you have to go ahead and bring it out. But the only chilip didn't have a mesoteris.
Only that he's doing a ma'isa over there. The Tani says in Perek Dazayin, he's only doing the ma'isa of the mitzvah. He doesn't feel anything. It's just that the kashvar chazam sarf la ma'isa.
No, that's when a person's not able to feel anything at that moment. But a person has to go ahead, and he speaks about from Perek Dazayin till Perek, till the Perek Hafei, how a person can utilize the kayach of recognizing that he'd be willing to be ma'isa nefesh to bring out the avam mesoteris. Right, so you're right. There is a time when a person could do just the cold ma'isa itself. Altamach shalva, much more mitzaref l'ma'isa. Here we're talking about a person who's just feeling not just in the one ma'isa itself. A person tried to go out and bring a hava mesoteris. He tried to do his b'mizbeinin to bring out a new hava. He's not feeling anything. So he's totally apathetic. Now that's, again, like we said, it's a very, very, very fundamental problem. It's much, much worse. Right? A person who, the Ben HaRasha by the Seder, is not such a bad person. He's a Ben HaRasha, the Seder. He's a Ben HaRasha. But you know what's the mile of the Ben HaRasha? He's angry, right? He comes, ma'avoy dezois lechem, kafir be'ikr. I have no problem with a guy like that. A guy like that just needs to be spoken to. How do you speak to him? You speak to him with passion, right? L'fisha yitzis, atzman eklal, kafir be'ikr, vafata hakashinav. He's speaking with passion. You go ahead and say, listen, you have a hava nefula. I'm happy that you're passionate. I appreciate that you're passionate. The guy who's just the sheni de'alisha, the guy who says, I don't care. Right? Sheni de'alisha is not somebody who's so stupid, he doesn't know anything. The guy doesn't care. Guy was like, it doesn't bother me. I don't know, you want to be from. You don't want to be from, don't be from. None of it makes a difference to me. I'll eat the matzah. I'm going to eat the matzah. I'll eat the matzah. I don't care about anything. He's much worse than the Russia. He's much, much worse than the Russia. The Russia is somebody who's passionate. He's passionate about the wrong things. And he's passionate, he's angry, but the person's passionate. Right? They say, in Chabad, they say, if you try to put film on somebody and he tells you, I'm not interested. He tells you, no, stop, it's fine. You leave him. When a guy starts screaming at you and yelling at you, you know, that guy's the guy you have to chop. That guy's mamash kafta lemanach tefillin. He's the guy you have to chop. Why? If you triggered him, so he's getting angry, so he's passionate. So a person's passionate, you have to grab, because that he has a habanafula. So you have to grab him and say, obviously I triggered something in you. Obviously, you know what I mean? I touched something very, a raw nerve deep inside of you about the concept of tefillin and being from and making a public display of being of Yiddishkeit. So now I have to grab you. But the guy who's apathetic is much, much worse. The guy's apathetic. We spoke, as mentioned this many times before, Moshe Leib Sassever used to say, Moshe Leib Sassever, any day, he said, I take any day the chassid who's sitting in the bar, the shiksa next to him, singing goyish and agunim, eating tray for food, I take any day that guy is my chassid versus the guy who's sitting in bed, lying in bed, doesn't want to get out of bed. He said, the guy who's in the bar, who's with the shiksa, who's singing the goyish and agunim, he has a hava. The guy's on fire. The guy's a slavos. Hey, it's misguided. It's a havana fula. It's terrible. But all he needs is Talmud Baruch Kitay Hashem. I guarantee I can take all the chasing that he's doing around, all the gashmis he's chasing. I can take it and I can circumvent it. I can just go on and channel it the proper way. And not only is this guy going to be a chassid, this guy's going to be mamash on fire. He's going to be the guy that's going to be the guy waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning. The guy who's pashit, involved in everything with the real slavos. The guy's apathetic, who's just on his bed. There's very little he can do with them. I ask any of the Rebbeim now in Eretz Yisrael. The problem that they have in Eretz Yisrael is that the Bacham that used to be running to town, used to be getting shikar in town every night, they can deal with them. The guy who's sitting in his bed on the phone the whole time, they can't deal with them. Which means I can't help a guy who's on his phone. He's apathetic. So I told him to come to Seder. He said, I don't care. Come to Shachar, I don't care. You want to go out to go drinking? Nah, I don't care. That's the worst, right? The person's apathetic. So if a person's a Beinani and they feel that they have a Timtum Alei, which means they feel cut off, they feel like, okay, I don't care enough. Right? I don't care enough to even change. I don't care enough even to recognize that I need to go ahead and have the Ahava, Mr. Terrace, have the Ahava which comes from his Bainanus. So that's a real problem. So a Bainani, and again, we all experience it. It says, the Itim Rabim, person can experience a Timtum Aleiv, Shenasik Evan. Pashat, his heart is like an Evan, and he feels absolutely nothing. He feels totally cut off. Which means, B'shem Oifen, in any of the ways that we discussed in the first 25 Prakim, it's not working for him. He's doing all this bunch. He's sitting and meditating the whole Indian of Lesas Eponimine, Mamale, Sayyid. He's doing all this bunch he's supposed to do, and he's trying to be Ma'ir, the Havam Sateris, by thinking about the fact that he'd be willing to be Ma'isha Nevesh. It's not working. It's not working. It's all there in his head, but there's a gap in between the head and the brain, and it's not working.
It's worse than what we were saying. Is that it's not the person who's laying in his bed doing nothing. It's a person who's fighting and trying to get that thought out of his mind. Still, when he gets there, he still has nothing. The person laying in his bed, not really fighting, just doing nothing.
Right, again,
that's why it's worse.
Yeah, it's worse. It's definitely much harder for him to experience. Which means the guy who's sitting in bed, you're right, he's so apathetic, he didn't even try. Here's a guy who's trying. He has to be trying, otherwise he's not a Bainan. He's trying. He's being misbainin.
Not a person who's like sitting there and doubting and thinking about other things. He's right. Trying. He's trying.
He's trying, but it's not working. So, again, first of all, it's very, very disheartening for a person to go through that, to experience what that means to be totally cold. It's a very disheartening feeling. To not feel anything when it comes to a Shabbos or a Yontif, to go through a Pesach and just say, oh, it was a Seder. I came out of Yontif, and not feeling anything. It's a very disheartening feeling. If I cared about the people that, the worst thing that can happen to somebody who's apathetic is to watch other people having a slavos. Right, so they're watching, a guy comes into Yontif, and he's watching my davening, and the ilum's on fire with davening. It drives him crazy. Why is it driving him crazy? He's so jealous, right? He knows that that's what I should have. And again, we're talking about a guy who's working in it, not a guy who doesn't want to be apathetic. He just feels apathetic. He feels totally cold and totally cut off. So it's hard. But more than just that, it's hard. The problem is that if he doesn't fix the problem, so being apathetic doesn't lead anywhere good. If a person's apathetic about davening, so even if, the first 2-3 months he comes to davening, 4 months in, he's having to come to davening. 4 months in, I put on tefillin, I didn't put on tefillin, I don't remember anymore. Shabbos, yes, Shabbos, no Shabbos. I don't have hot food, so I put it in with a shine. Slowly, everything starts to erode, which means especially the Beinani who needs the slavos, that's the way he's going to be able to operate, is through the Ahava and the Yira, when he's lacking that, so everything's going to slowly erode. And therefore, we have to figure out, this is a very, very, it's a real issue that the Beinani, and again, we're all halavai that we should be the Beinani, but we all deal with this, the Timtum Aleiv, where we're trying to do the right thing, but we don't feel anything. We're putting in the right actions, but we don't feel anything. And the Mela, he's not able to go ahead. And first of all, the first problem is he's not able to feel the Ftech Liv Hashem Oifan La Avodah Shebelev, which is Tefillah. Anything is Avodah Shebelev. Again, he can learn, but Avodah Shebelev, Zut Tefillah, he's not able to feel, right? Generally, they say that when a boy starts going off the derech, the first thing that he drops is Tefillah. So when a girl goes off, the first thing she drops is Sneas, and a boy, the first thing he drops is Tefillah. Because a guy can be learning 8, 9, 10, 12 hours a day, and it's all in the brain. Right, but to feel avodah shebelev, you have to be more. If you're apathetic, you can learn when you're apathetic. It's not a problem. But avodah shebelev, zut tefillah, that's a very, very difficult for a person to do. A person's apathetic, a person doesn't feel anything, so you can't. Davening is an emotional experience. Davening is avodah shebelev, zut tefillah. Huh? That's just very different. That's for a different reason why. But it's for another time. But this avodah shebelev is very, very hard because a person feels, first of all, it's cold. A person feels cut off. So again, if I don't feel an emotional relationship with the Rabbanu Shalom, so then something like tefillah is going to be the first thing to go because that's the thing that takes the most. emotional energy to be involved in. So this person feels a thimtum alayf and is nasik evan. His heart became like an evan. And what does he want? He wants, you know, haifchi atzura gamayim. But he wants that atzura, which is the rock, should turn into flowing water. That's what he wants. He wants haifchi atzura gamayim. It's not happening. Not only that, often he's not able to go ahead and feel what we said, what we just mentioned in the previous parak, that the Beinoni should be doing is to be Kadosh Atzmach HaMutalach. Right? We mentioned that the Beinoni, not just, we're talking about not doing the right thing, but more than doing the right thing, is Kadosh Atzmach HaMutalach, pushing off the amount of time that a person has before they eat a Suda. All of those examples that we gave of a person living at a higher standard, the Beinoni, this Beinoni who has Timtum Alev is not capable of doing that. Because again, he'll do the right thing. He's not going to eat anything usher. He's not going to look at anything he shouldn't be looking at. But to get to the level of Kadosh Atzmach HaMutalach, to get to the level that you recognize that I'm not eating 100% L'Shem Shemayim and therefore I'm going to push it off 2-3 hours in order to eat it in a higher weight, that he can't do. Well, I mean, been a Kvedish HaBalev, because he has a Kvedish HaBalev, because he's totally cut off. So he has this problem of Timtum Alev where he's trying to do what he's doing, but it's not working, and he's not able to deal with it. Okay, so he says, so what's the Eitzah? V'zoisi Eitzah Yutzah. So Baruch Hashem, the Zerah Kaddish already told us what the Eitzah is. The Amar Rav Masifta, the Rav of Masifta of Gan Eden, the Rosh Hashiva and the Masifta of Gan Eden told us the Eitzah. Ayah the Lois Solik Beinahura, a block of wood. Lois Solik Beinahura, right? So a person wants to make a bonfire, and you take a block of wood. If you ever made a, you know, what's called in a fire pit, you made a bonfire. Take a bonfire and you put in thick logs of wood. Doesn't like. Now you can't put in a thick log of wood. What do you need to do? Maftishinla. You have to go ahead and you have to split it. Right? So you have a log and the log is not getting split. And that log is not catching on fire. The eight says you have to take an axe. You have to split it into small splinters. Right? If you try to put the full log in, it's not going to work. Gufu the loyselik. Zak the zerakadish. That's a mashal. The nimshal is gufu the loyselik bein a hayra the neshmasa. The guf that the light, the fire of the neshama is not overwhelming, is not going out and catching onto the guf, what do? Aftishanla. You have to go ahead and take an axe and you have to split the guf. The same way, the only way to allow that wood to be able to catch on fire is by splitting the piece of wood when the guf is too thick. And therefore the guf is not allowing the fire of the neshama to be able to express itself throughout the guf. And therefore the guf is very cold. The Timtum Alev is taking place in the place of the guf. The guf is cold. You know what the Eitzah is? You have to break the guf. You have to go ahead and shatter the guf. You have to break the guf. And by breaking the guf, then a person is then able to experience the Arv of the Neshama, the Nahur the Neshmasa. The fire of the Neshama is then able to take it out. The Neshama itself is a fire. The Neshama itself is Nereshem Nishmas Adam. But that fire often can't catch itself onto the log because the guf is too thick. And that's what he's going to talk about, that the thickness of the guf doesn't allow the Arv of the Neshama. The reason why the Beinoni is dealing with this Timtum Alev is because his guf is too thick. And therefore the Eitzah is shatter the guf. The Eitzah is shiver. Shivan Alev, the Eitzah is to go ahead and to work through, to go ahead and to break oneself, to be mevatel oneself, to then allow the guf to be shattered. Once the guf is shattered, the neshama can then allow itself to shine. The neshama can then go ahead and the light of the neshama, the aura of the neshama, the fire of the neshama, can then go ahead and consume the guf in a way that it totally overtakes the guf, in a way that it's able to be mevatel the symptom alev and be able to be paisech alev. That's the Eitzah that the Zohar Kodesh says. Pirush nahayur the neshmasa sha'or neshama vaseichel ein emer kol kach limshal chumri shabaguf. Which means what happens is that the aura of the neshama is not meishel on the chumri, is the thickness of the guf. This is what the Zohar Kodesh is talking about. Is a person has a problem with timtum alev. Therefore, ba'afshem even mizbeinim besichle. Now again, we're talking about the person who's maven and he's mizbeinim besichle begadus Hashem, but in a nitzvas v'nidvik meichel kol kach sheyachel limshal chumri shalev machmas chumri yusa. And the reason why it's not happening, Zakta Zera Kaddish, is because the guf is too thick. The guf is too thick. The chumrius is too thick to allow the ur of the neshama to be able to shine through. So if you put up such a thick veil in front of the ur of the neshama, of course it's not going to catch fire. If the log of the guf is so thick, of course it's not going to catch fire. The gasusin vasibahu gasas aklipa shemagbia atzmai al ur kedushas anefesh alakis umastira machshicha ira. The problem is that gasas the klipa that's magbia atzmai on the ur. That's what the whole klipa does. Again, like I mentioned many times before, the klipa is that which goes in and covers over the R. What the klipa does is the klipa is covering over the R of the neshama, not to allow it. It's mastiru machisha ira, the thickness of the veil, the thickness of the piece of wood goes out and you put it on top, and now it's not able to do. You ever have a bonfire and you have a small fire there on the bottom, and you know the kids don't know how to make a bonfire, so they take a big logs and they throw it in. What they just did is they just took the fire that's there underneath, and now the fire is now hidden underneath the thing. Hopefully it's still alive, that fire, but it's hidden underneath that thick log that's there. And therefore you have to splinter the wood. Put in the wood slowly, put in the wood in a way that it's splintered into smaller pieces, and then the fire that's sitting in the bottom will be able to catch and will be able to go ahead and light the guf on fire. Ulizois, and therefore, the Eitzah is, Tzarech Labashto, Lashpila la offer, you have to be mashvila la offer. The hainu, what does that mean? How does a person break his guf? La kfaya, itim lahashpil atzmai, lias nivze be'enav nimais. A person has to go ahead and be kveya itim. And again, obviously, like we mentioned in previous prakim, kveya itim means that I have to go out and make a specific time to do this. Because if I try to do this throughout the day, I'm for sure going to be led into atzmas. And again, we mentioned before, even doing this maybe an hour a day, the way the Baal Tanya is going to explain to us, probably is going to be too intense for us to be able to do in a way that's not going to lead to atzvas bizmeninu. But nevertheless, going ahead and definitely doing this throughout the day is for sure the wrong idea. It only has to be done on my terms. It only has to be done in a way that I'm keveya itim when I do it, that I create a time, like Reb Nachman writes, that a person has to have a sha achas, that he's b'shivan aleiv, and the rest of the day is totally b'simcha. So I have to have that hour, that time that I set aside to be b'shivan aleiv. But what I do then is that nivze be'enav nimas, a person goes at it and breaks the guf. Kakasav, aleiv nishbar, ruach nishbar. A person goes ahead and breaks Lev Nishbar, Ruach Nishbar. That a person, the way a person is able to have a Lev Nishbar is through a Ruach Nishbar, and Mela who has Sitra Achra, and Mela a person is able to go ahead and break the guf. By breaking the guf, by allowing myself to sit and break the guf, a person is then capable of allowing the fire of the neshama to go ahead and spread out the guf. Now, what he's going to explain now over the next, you know, two pages is that what a person needs to do in order to do this is recognize how bad a situation is, which means often, very often, most of the time, the reason why a person is apathetic, why is a person not here? Because he thinks that everything's fine, right? There's a certain sense and a certain feeling of, I could be complacent because I'm fine, right? I'm davening. I don't have a slavas during davening. It's okay. It's not such a big deal, right? I'm okay. I'm in a good place. If I'm davening every day, I'm putting on tefillin every day, if I'm keeping Shabbos, and I'm going out and doing what I need to be doing, so if, as long as I'm doing the actions that are right, it's okay. So the feeling that a person has, which is apathy, the feeling that a person has of being cold, of timtum alev, comes because a person feels like everything's fine. When a person sits and is misboinen and realizes everything is not fine, right, my life is not really the way it's supposed to be, bruchnius, which means I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And even like I'll say, even if right now I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, but I haven't done a proper tshuva in everything that I have done, and I haven't done a proper tshuva in all my chatas na'urim, everything I've done when I was a teenager, when I was younger. See, even if right now I may feel like everything's okay, if I don't sit and recognize and understand that I'm not okay, that there's an avoida that I need to go ahead to be able to recognize that I need to fix myself up, so then I'm just going to live at that place of apathy in a way that I'm not going to be able to fix myself up. If I can sit with myself and be misbeinen and recognize what my situation is, what I'm going through, then I'll be able to go out and fix myself up. I had a fascinating conversation with somebody a while ago, where the person told me, he feels very, mamash like this thing, he feels total tim to my life. Total, no interest in getting out of bed, no interest in davening, learn, total tim to my life. He says, I wish that I got to a place that he's been at before, where I'm so broken and I'm so shattered that I recognize that I mamash need to change my life. He's like, I feel like the only way to be able to get out of the matzav that I'm in is I have to get to the place that I'm mamash, like I have to like dig myself into a hole, and I find myself in the hole, then I'll say, okay, well, I need to change my life. Like my life's mamash in a terrible place, and then I need to get myself out. And this often happens to people, right? People that are addicts, people that are dealing with, you know, difficult things. They're only able to get out once they hit rock bottom. Why? Because till they hit rock bottom, there's a certain sense of apathy, a certain sense of, I'm fine, I'm making it through life, I'm fine. Only once they're rock bottom, when everything's mamash falling apart, they lose their job, no one's going to get divorced, everything's falling apart, then I'm like, wow, I need to change my life. So there's a certain sense of going ahead and doing that to yourself, recognizing what your matzav is, that then allows a person to shatter the guf, to recognize that the guf is not okay, that I'm not okay where I am. It shatters the guf and then allows the neshama to be able to shine its light through. And maybe the whole avodah is going to talk about over the next two pages, mamash to do that, to sit with yourself, and to be mizbeinen in what your matzav is baruchnius, to recognize that you're not okay, to recognize that you're not where you're supposed to be, to recognize that you could be doing much better, and only through doing that, I can then shatter the guf that's stuck in a place of apathy, stuck in a place of being complacent, and then once I do that, I can allow the ur of the neshama to shine through in a way that the ur of the neshama is able to go ahead and be able to take over the guf. But that's going to be the ikar avoida. And again, like we said, the way he's going to describe it is a very intense avoida, it's a very harsh avoida, and if a person did this, I imagine a person would fall to the place of atzvas very, very quickly, and therefore, again, we'll have to talk about maybe next week, talk about more exactly how a person does that. But that's going to be the basic gist of what he's going to discuss over the next two pages, exactly how a person's supposed to do that. What he'll begin with, again, maybe we'll stop over here and continue next week. What he'll begin with is explaining how a person has to realize that they are the guf. That a person, the Beinoni, is really identifies by the guf much more than the neshama, right? That tzaddik identifies by the neshama much more than the guf. The Beinoni, even though, again, all of us, if you ask us who we really are at our core, our real identity is the neshama, not the guf. But what he'll say is that the Beinoni identifies much more as a guf than a neshama. And part of the avoida of shattering the guf is to recognize, I'm not a guf. I'm an neshama. And neshama is an orang tzayif. And neshama is a chelik of the kami mal mamash. And neshama has unlimited capacity. And whatever I'm doing is not enough because I'm just think of myself as a guf. And therefore I limit myself. And therefore I feel complacent. And therefore I feel apathetic because I feel like I'm okay. But if I can shatter the limitations of the guf, if I can shatter the guf, and I can shatter my thinking of myself as a guf and start to recognize that I'm more than a guf, then I'll be able to allow the aur of the neshama to shine through. But the problem with the bainani is that we identify as a guf. And as the neshama, the avoida, what I'll discuss, is that a person has to go ahead and shatter through that limitation, that way of thinking that I'm a guf and not a neshama. A person has to go ahead and do it. He just brings a palatik a taich. We say every day in davening, l'kai neshama, shenesat tabi tohiri. Right? What does that mean? L'kai neshama, shenesat tabi. The neshama that you put in me. Who's in me? L'kai neshama, shenesat tabi. What do you mean in me? Zakta Baltani, it's about a bainani. That a bainani says, in me, who's me? My guf, right? The tzaddik doesn't think that way. The tzaddik thinks the opposite. The tzaddik thinks, Rabbanu, you put a guf to my neshama, not a neshama to my guf. Right? Really, every one of us is really a neshama that found itself inside of a guf, not a guf that contains within a neshama. That's where the tzaddik thinks about reality as being a neshama that has a lavush of a guf, huh?
There wasn't a ficha.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but identifying it for sure, there was sure a mafle lasais, for sure a pella of the yichud that takes place, and for sure there was a guf there that the bunch of put the neshama in. But how do you view yourself? Do you view yourself as the neshama that has a levush of a guf? That's the way the tzaddik views himself. I'm talking about Hillel Zaken, or the opposite, or the way the beinani views himself is I'm a guf that happens to have a neshama inside of it. And the problem with that is that a person falls to timtum alev, then a person falls to limitations, then a person falls to katnus, to timtum. A person is not able to really be able to allow the earth of the neshama to come through. A person feels apathetic, a person feels like, I'm okay, like, what do you want from me? I'm just a guf. I'm a guf that has a neshama inside of me. Like, there's not much more I can do. And a person becomes complacent. The whole avodah, again, I'll discuss in this parak, is how to shatter the guf, how to shatter the idea of thinking of ourselves as a guf, and to be able to break past that in a way that will allow the earth of the neshama to then shine through and be able to be, you know, to take over a person completely. And again, we'll be mamshich next week. We'll go through this and we'll go through and try to talk about how it's shaykh to us as well.